Sal Capaccio.
Sal's everywhere. Well, Sal's at minicamp. Sal's at your golf. Yeah, I saw Sal. I saw him at T-ball.
Wait a minute. The thing you were at for why you couldn't golf, yep. Sal was at, but he also golfed?
Apparently. No one's able to do more things at one time than Sal. He's the man of all trades.
He might just own a helicopter and we don't know it.
Get to the chopper!
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
The Capaccio copter is touched down in Chicago ahead of Bills and Bears and a joint practice between the Bills and Bears. And then a preseason game number 2 out of 3 for the Bills. So joining us live from Chicago on the Western Hotline is Mr. Sal Capaccio. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jeremy. If I may, just want to start today by condolences to Art Wander's family, people who knew Art Wander. The entire, region and community in radio and entertainment. What an amazing, amazing man. I know you know he passed away yesterday. Mm-hmm. I read about it thanks to our friend Bob Kaczynski, who posted about it. And Art Wander was a man who did what, was a talk show host. And literally the reason I do this for a living. Like, Art Wander was the reason I got into this business to do this. In high school, when we'd be in the car, I would say I was an old soul. I was in high school listening to talk radio at the time. That wasn't cool at the time, right?
Yeah.
But I did that. And if my dad went to the store, I wanted to sit in the car and I wanted to listen. And I would call him. I would call his show. And you should do this on your show, Jeremy. What he did was he had everybody had nicknames. And every day, the first person who called in, the guy, he's called himself Mr. T. Let's go to Mr. T. And then there was a guy named the Polish Prince. And there was a guy named Ace. And there was all these different names. And I'm like, man, I need a nickname. It was kind of corny and cool. I was, young. And I went to Cleveland Hill. So I said, oh, you know what? We're the Golden Eagles. I was the Golden Eagle when I would call. Like, that was my nickname when I'd call the talk show at, like, 16 years old. And I'd record myself and listen back. Anyway, one time I called him and I said, can I talk to you about something off the air? And he said, sure. So I called the same number and he picked it right up right after the show. He goes, hey, Golden Eagle, what's going on? I'm like, oh, hey, Art. I said, listen, I want to do what you do for a living and I want to go to Syracuse University. Would it be okay? Could you write me a letter of recommendation? Absolutely. And I went down to Franklin Street where the old studios was many years ago. And he did that for me. And it was a tough day to learn yesterday, but I know he lived an amazing, amazing life. And I know a lot of people who I heard from yesterday who said that, they listened to Art growing up, and just wanted to pass that along because he meant so much to me and my life and my career.
Yeah, we had Howard on earlier, Sal. Talked to Howard about it. Howard has a piece up at our website, WGR550.com, just like remembering Art. And it's funny, Howard said that, like, getting to know Art Wander over the years, he didn't think he would like him at first because he thought he was too bombastic and he's on the radio. And then he got to know him like, oh, he's a really nice guy, which is, not an unusual kind of thing. When you were listening to Art way back then,
yeah.
was he bombastic? Was he, I'm not saying like a hot take artist, but, when you're someone back then, you had to be remembered. Like, what do you remember his style to be like?
Yeah, he was an entertainer. I would say bombastic is an interesting word. I don't know. He wasn't hot takey. He was an entertainer. He would be critical and he would go after people. And there were people that he absolutely loved and he would really defend all the time. He was kind of a little bit of, kind of polarizing that way. But it was never in a way that I think that, we've had other people on the radio here where, this person's just like really going after it one way or the other. Art had his favorites and there was times where he went after people. And I believe it was him that Bill Polian was referencing. Did Howard talk about it when he said, when Bill Polian went on a press conference one time and he said, and if you don't like it, get out of town or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that was Art. He was referencing because Art had kind of criticized, something the Bills had done. So yeah, he was an entertainer. And that's why, you have to be an entertainer when you come up with the name Tiny Tot of the Kilowatt or Artie Baby Boo Boo, right? I mean, that's who he was. So yeah, in an era where, you kind of had to really, it was all about calls, right? It was taking calls. This guy was the master at taking calls and engaging with people.
Well, the Golden Eagle is on the Westher Hotline right now talking to us from Chicago. All right. So yes. I saw you got to see the bean is it Millennium Park? Millennium Park? What is that?
I believe that is Millennium Park.
Yeah. The bean. I've seen the bean. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'd never seen it before. And then people started telling me there's a conspiracy theory that there's a man in the bean. And I'm like, what? Like, right. I literally, like, there's literally protesters out there doing this. And I started going down the rabbit hole last night, and I definitely should not have done that. I just want you to know.
Right.
So this is not too far away from the hotel where we're staying. And I went out last night to just walk around, wanted to get a little bite to eat. And then I said, boy, I wonder where the bean is. And sure enough, it was right there, Millennial Park. Millennial Park, one or the other. And I walked over there, and yeah, a lot of people. It was pretty busy there, but, you know, everybody's taking pictures and experiencing it. So Chicago's a really cool city. It's a very I always say it's a great summer city. Like, Chicago kind of comes alive in the summer with the bridges and the boats and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's different parts of Chicago where you can always be and stay. I always say it's different than like New York or Boston. To me, New York and Boston are very, very walkable through the whole city, even though, like, yeah, you're not going to like walk from every side of Manhattan to the other, but you can, you know, that's not Chicago. You kind of have to pick and choose where you want to be. But once you're there, it has very distinct features all over.
So joint practice today with the Bears and then a game at the Bears Stadium, Soldier Field. Like, checking in on the Bears, Sal, where is the practice? Is it at their facility? Is it at their stadium? Where are things going to happen? Because I'd imagine we'll see some highlights today on these joint practices. I was kind of joking earlier on that, like, these are the new training camp highlights that we're getting. We got a lot of Dolphins Lions, Dolphins Bears. Where will this all be taking place today?
Yeah, good question. It is not at Soldier Field. It is at Halas Hall. Halas Hall is located in, I believe, Forest Hills. I have to take a look exactly. Lake Forest, sorry. Lake Forest, I believe, is actually where it is. So I don't know in relation exactly where that is to Soldier Field, but it is a practice facility where the Bears hold their practices. And yes, we're going to have, there's no fans. This is a closed practice to fans, but it is open to media, obviously. So, you know, I'll be there. Other media will be on hand, both Chicago and Buffalo. And you're going to obviously get different perspectives. That's part of the cool thing that I like about these things, is whether it's the Bills or someone else. Last week, the Bears had a joint practice against the Miami Dolphins, and you read the reports from the Dolphins people and from the Bears people. And, you know, same thing here. So Bills fans can obviously, we want you to read our coverage and listen and all that, but you'll get perspective from Buffalo media. You'll get perspective from Chicago media. And I think that's cool. Like, what you're seeing matches up because you're kind of seeing it from a different lens right there. And then, you know, as we talked about before, you really don't know exactly what you're going to get, except I could probably tell you're going to get, you know, one-on-ones with offensive line and defensive line, or receivers against DBs. You know, how much 7-on-7 they do, how much 11-on-11. They're not going to, usually you're not taking guys totally to the ground, even in this setting. You're doing up thud, but you could have that because, you know, you're trying to prepare for the season. It's about getting your work done. It's about being efficient. And, you know, that's what today's goal is.
Sell some transactions for the Bills ahead of this practice. The wide receiver Jalen Virgil and defensive end Justin Hollins were waived. And the Bills added tight end Matt Sokol. He's back with the team. He was with them before. And also a defensive end in Nelson Ceasar. So a couple, you know, end of the roster moves. But Virgil, is he the most surprising piece here? I mean, he played last year. He's on the roster last year. And to have him waived, injured, would probably be good news for Tyrell Shavers?
I would say that's probably right, or everybody else who can elevate. But I think, sure, Shavers is one of those guys right there that we've talked about a lot. But I agree with you, going back to what you said about Virgil, that, you know, a little surprising. I didn't realize, he had an injury that would cause him to be released. I know that he was dealing with something the other day out of practice. I don't know if he had a full practice, but I think he had missed the one practice. But that said, I thought he was having a good camp, Jeremy. Like, it was always a guy who was a little bit under the radar that I would bring up once in a while, that, you know, Virgil's kind of popping a little bit here. Still, to me, a long shot to make the roster. Like, I didn't think he was going to make it. But you're right. They had him on the practice squad last year, and then they elevated him, and then they signed him. Remember, because they elevated him like a couple times, they signed him. So he actually did play a role on the Bills' offense last year and on special teams. You know, I offense, he had a few snaps, but he played on special teams, but he was on the active roster. So what does that do at wide receiver? It is interesting that when they go and sign somebody, they sign Matt Sokol, who had been released last week, I think a couple days ago. So that was more of a – it sounds like a paper transaction. They had to have numbers. But in this case – they don't bring in another wide receiver. So now you're down Jalen Virgil, you know, what do you still have? Of course, beyond Shakir, Coleman, Palmer, and then it's Samuel, Elijah Moore, Tyrell Shavers, Laviska Shenault, and KJ Hambler. I mean, Christian Wilkerson is still on this roster, and Caden Prather is now playing. So you still have a lot of competition for the back end of the wide receiver spot, and I'm interested to see who practices today. That's going to be an interesting storyline. Is Curtis Samuel out there? Elijah Moore, who didn't practice the other day? You know, are these guys, Tyrell Shavers didn't practice the other day. Is he going to today? So today could be a big day to kind of get a little bit more of a read and separation on what the Bills feel.
Sal Capaccio from Chicago. We might get an indication of how they lay out the preseason game on Sunday. Would you anticipate, let's start, Sal, with quarterback, that they flipped their order? They played well enough to have a real competition here? Because it's Trubisky's old team. I don't know how that factors in, but I feel like if Trubisky goes first, then Mitch Trubisky is the backup quarterback. But I could be wrong there. How do you think they handle it?
I mean, I wouldn't rule out Josh Allen playing, to be honest with you. Okay. I don't know that. Maybe not, right? We don't know. I think today could determine that too, Jeremy, which is what if he has a really good day today, gets everything done, they want to get done. They say, you know what, Josh, you're good. Back off. I know Bills fans generally don't love to hear that Josh Allen could play in a preseason game, but I want to remind everybody, last year, the Bills went to Pittsburgh. They had a joint practice against the Steelers. Josh, you know, was a big part of that. And then he was going to play against the Steelers. The only reason he didn't was because there was like a really bad rain that came before the game and the field got wet. So Josh did not play because they didn't want to risk him on the field. I wonder if it's the same playbook this time, which is, okay, he's going to play in this and he's going to play Sunday night. We know the Bears are playing their starters Sunday night. Is that a reason to yes or is that a reason to no if you're Sean McDermott, which is defensive starters. You want to see how your starting offense can acclimate, you know, against a starting defense, which by all accounts has had really good camp and has played pretty well in last week's, you know, scrimmage or joint practice against the Dolphins. So that being said, let's just say it's not Josh. I agree with you. I think that it would probably seem right that Mike White would get the first role this time. Maybe Mike White even gets in pretty quickly if Josh Allen, you know, starts and comes out of the game, maybe a couple series. It would feel like that's the case. If it's not, if they give it to Trubisky right away, then to me, I'm interpreting that as there's a pretty good gap here between Trubisky and White. If White gets it first, I think that I'm going to interpret it as there's a pretty good competition still going on, and they're seeing these guys pretty evenly.
I'm thinking all the way back to, boy, Sal, it must be a previous coaching staff with a joint practice. Do they view the joint practice as a start? Like whoever gets more reps in that spot? Because it could be Josh, of course, getting a good amount of reps, and then there's only going to be a certain amount in the joint practice that could go for Mike White there because that's a controlled environment. I don't know. I guess it'll be interesting because these joint practices followed by games are, you know, a little bit different, and the coaches would have different value in the one set of reps versus the other.
I agree. I mean, look, I don't know, and it's a great question. I think every coach is going to feel differently, right?
Yeah.
You're going to sit down. You're going to map it out with your coaching staff. You're going to map it out with your organization and say, like, how much we get done today, does that impact what we want to get on Sunday? Or do you already have it set and say, no, we want the game reps. That's valuable. I know Sean McDermott values those, the game reps for his guys. Like he has over the years said that those preseason games, getting some of that under your belt is very valuable. That's interesting. The other part I find interesting going to the Chicago side of this, Jeremy, is like here's Ben Johnson who takes over this team. He's a brand new coach. He's installing a brand new offense. Caleb Williams, who had some struggles last year, he's a second year in the system. And they have gone like diving headfirst into joint practice last week, joint practice this week. Like they're just throwing it all on the table now. I would think in my head that a coach like that in that situation would say, we got to get all of our stuff done. We're not ready for that. Sean McDermott didn't do that. His first 2 years in Buffalo, he didn't want to do any joint practices. Josh Allen comes along, didn't want to do that. Took until his third year to say, okay, we'll do that. And that had to be with a team in Carolina that they really trusted in Ron Rivera, right? So it's really interesting how I think Ben Johnson is approaching his first year as head coach of the Bears and going right at it and saying, you know what? We just got out of camp for 2 weeks, and we're going right to joint practices.
Yeah. Injuries that we're monitoring to see who is not available for today?
We are monitoring Deion Dawkins. We don't know if he's available. We don't know if he's not available. So we'll see. Remember, Deion, Sean McDermott said that he had a back flare-up, which is why he missed practice the other day. So we'll see if Deion Dawkins is out on the practice field today. Do not expect, obviously, even though you saw Khalil Shakir was in the longer in the walking boot, he's not going to be out there. He's still a little ways away. Alec Anderson had started practicing a little bit. I don't know if this is a little bit too soon. He had done some individual work. He hadn't done some teamwork. And then I want to see and make sure that Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp got through practice okay, right? I mean, that's always something. His first practice back the other day. Did they get through okay? If they did, this is big. They get them on the field together. Like, I think maybe more than anybody, those two guys today is a really big day for them because they need this work to be together for the communication piece. And I want to see and make sure those guys are able to it. I would say, you know, no Tyler Bass probably hasn't kicked in a while. And who's the other one? Then again, like I said, Curtis Samuel's a guy I think that we'll be watching for.
You know, on the safety cell, do you think it's interesting because I know when McDermott was asked about how much they game plan for a preseason game, it was between 0 and 1 for the Giants. So here's the Bears. Do you think it's possible if Bishop and Rapp are both good to go and able to play, that they would get a healthy dose of snaps because the Bills think it is really the pairing? Like, they need time on task together. And, you know, injuries, schminjuries, like, you've been banged up as it is. Why protect you? What I need are the reps. And they could play a significant amount of snaps, not only today at practice, but also in the game.
I think it's possible, for sure. I just judging by the way Sean McDermott talks about that and what he values, I think it's very possible that you see those guys on the field quite a bit. There's got to be that balance, though, right? Which is what you said. You know, how much do you want to put on them just coming back from injury? You're, you know, 3 weeks away from your first game versus the fact that you absolutely need to have them start taking some reps together. So no doubt about that. I don't expect, again, the Bills to game plan for this game like they didn't last week, but I do think you have to make sure these guys are buttoned up on their communication. One of the things that I'm interested in seeing, Jeremy, related to this is, and this is a really good test for the Bills defense to go against a Ben Johnson offense, right? I mean, you get two days. So you get a full practice in and you get a full game of a Ben Johnson offense, a guy who is known as one of the best play callers, one of the best innovators of offensive football in the NFL. Like, that, I think that's a really good test. So, yeah, put those guys out there, get their time on task, because you got to start buttoning that up.
Sal Capaccio from Chicago ahead of Bills Bears. Preseason game number 2, and of course the joint practice. So anything we did not cover we should get to here regarding this game? Like, the Ben Johnson point is good. You know, seeing how they go up against his offense, and he's been interesting to watch. Like, he's a guy that is thought of as a, you know, mad scientist in the lab, but I feel like a lot of what I've read about Chicago has been about his culture and how he's working them really hard, demanding a lot of them and being very honest with players. Like, it'll be interesting to see how that goes, and the Bills, of course, get a look at it. So, eager to see.
No, I think the only other thing is, you know, obviously, we talked many times about the fact that, like, these things can get out of hand a little bit if it goes the wrong way, right? Like, you have to make sure that you're abiding by how you're trying to get this practice done efficiently, and they can get chirpy, they can get chippy. Josh Allen said that, they can get chippy. So this is on the coaches and this is on the players themselves, the police themselves. But you always go to these things hoping that, you know, those sorts of things don't start happening. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a skirmish here or there. I think there was one or two little ones in Pittsburgh last year, but nothing that rose to, it's like training camp, right? Nothing that rose to the level of, oh my God, this is happening all over. Now, I think you might have had a few fights in these joint practices with other teams this year. But I also haven't seen, like, viral videos of full team-on-team fights like we used to, you know, 15 years ago.
Yeah. All right. Practice today from Chicago. Sal, I learned that the bean is actually called Cloud Gate.
Me too. I learned that yesterday. I did not know that until I went down that rabbit hole that I told you about.
Yeah.
But, Cloud Gate. I had no idea, but it's called the bean because it's shaped like...
Looks like a bean, yeah. Looks like a giant bean. Yeah. All right, Sal, thanks very much.
All right, you got it.
Sal Capaccio, live from Chicago, home of the bean. I read the conspiracy of Cloudgate, all that. Definitely a cool thing to see, and it looks like a bean. If you're the artist that made it and called it Cloudgate, are you mad that people just call it the bean? You probably are, right? You want it to be called the thing you named it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that giant bean thing. All right, it's called CloudGate. 803-0550. Scott Pianowski of Yahoo Sports on the other side. Your phone calls as well. Should Allen play? Backup quarterbacks, you know, how you want to handle this? Bills and Bears have a practice today, and then a preseason game on Sunday night, 8 o'clock. Jeremy and Joe off today here on WGR.